You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who came in order to assure us that we are not on our own. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a story about two hikers, and these two hikers are off in the mountains of Arizona, and they're climbing up rock formations, and they're doing this mostly together, but they decide at one point that they're like, well, one guy decides he wants to go to over to this rock formation, the other guy decides that he's going to go to that other one. And so they start climbing these rock formations together. They're fairly close, but they're also sort of separate. And so they're climbing these things up, and as it happens, both of them break their legs. And they're stranded on top of these rock formations with broken legs. And they can't do anything about it. They can call out to one another, and they can respond to one another. They can even throw things over to one another, but they can't actually get to helping one another. And so you have this kind of picture that starts to develop of who these guys are. They're each in trouble. They've each got problems, and yet they're separate. They can't help each other. And then finally, you get to this point where they start to deviate in their approaches to life. The one guy decides that he is just going to get really bitter. And so he gets bitter about the situation that he's in. He starts to feel a lot of hatred in his heart, a lot of hatred towards the other person that he was climbing with. How dare that guy not climb the same rock formation with me? And he just kind of goes and sulks. And the other guy, he is a little bit more optimistic. And because he's a little bit more optimistic, he's kind of looking out for what might happen. And sure enough, there's a helicopter that comes by. And the helicopter sees the one guy who is on the rock formation. And he's waving over to them so that he can get picked up. Well, the guy who's feeling kind of bitter about life, well, he actually decides that he's going to crawl into this little cave because life is meaningless and I don't care about that. And so he crawls into the cave. The guy who sees the helicopter and waves his arm gets rescued by the helicopter, and the guy who slinks back into the cave doesn't get saved. He just dies up on that rock formation. Wonderful story, right? Absolutely. And not a true story. I'm sure you probably figured that out probably right around the time they broke their legs at the same time. But a story that I think gets to some of what we're going to be talking about today as we look into these texts. There's a lot to that story. There's a lot to that what's going on there. It's kind of a parable in itself. And today we're going to look at that parable that Jesus tells, that parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And that parable is a parable that Jesus tells in order to get the people around him thinking about, well, what's the deeper meaning here? Just like you were probably wondering where I was headed with that fruity story about two hikers that were going up two separate rock formations. You probably at some point figured out, okay, well, this story is going someplace. It's going to tell us something about what life is like. And I'm sure that that's how Jesus's original hearers heard this story of the rich man and Lazarus. And so we've heard this story probably before. There's quite a few of you in here, at least, who have heard this story before, and you kind of probably understand a little bit about this story. You know, you just heard it again. You understand that there's this guy. His name is Lazarus. Interestingly, Lazarus is the only one who gets a name in this story. The rich man doesn't even get a name, which shows you a little bit about what the trajectory of this parable is. That at the end of the day, Lazarus, the guy who is poor, the guy who is having his sores licked by the dogs, is the person who is the protagonist. He gets his name in there. Whereas the rich man, he's just kind of the secondary character. He's the bad guy. He's the one whose name shall not be spoken. He is Voldemort, folks. And so, you know, that's just kind of who this guy is. He's the bad guy, and we know that. And so we're tempted right away to look at the two, and we're tempted to go, okay, well, the problem with the rich guy is in his name. And his name is Rich Man. And so we can go, okay, well, all that I need to do in order to be a good Christian is to not be rich and maybe not be a man. Because rich man, right? And so maybe I should just be like Lazarus. That's how I get into the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus is telling me, right? So I need to go and find somebody to dump me off at somebody's house out in front of the gate. Now, I happen to drive by Coach Norvell's house every now and again because that's where we drop the girls off for their dance class. He has a big, big gate, and so I just need one of you to take me and to just drop me in front of that gate because I think he's got enough money to take care of me, even after Friday. And so you can see that the logic starts to maybe break down a little bit there. You go, oh, well, yeah, I don't necessarily think that the only people that get saved are the people that are not the rich people. Because, surprise, we are all fairly wealthy. We're all fairly well-to-do, simply by living in the culture that we're living in. And when you compare the lifestyle that we live, other places would look at us and go, oh my goodness, you have so much. You have air conditioning most of the time. You have Wi-Fi that's available pretty much wherever you are. You have pretty much all of your needs taken care of. You can run to Publix and you can grab pretty much anything you want to. One of those things came out, I was at the pastor's conference this past week, and one of those things came out in a conversation that I was having with a pastor friend of mine who happens to be a pastor in Tampa, and he was telling me about the hurricanes that they experienced this past year. And one of the things that they noticed in his congregation was that they were without power for about 3 days, which meant that at least one of their Publix was not open for about 3 days. And they started to see how that impacted their lives. They started to go, oh, all of a sudden, the things that I took for granted, all of a sudden, the things that I just thought were, you know, a normal part of life, well, that's maybe not something that is guaranteed for me. And we live with that all the time, without recognizing the wealth that we have. And so for us, it's really good news that this is not about not being the rich man. But if it's not about not being the rich man, then what is it about? I mean, after all, we started off with that Old Testament reading from Amos, right? That Old Testament reading where they are drinking wine from out of bowls and anointing themselves with oil. I mean, sounds like one of the parties that I used to go to, right? There's this stuff going on. And so we look at that and we go, well, I don't know, Jay. Maybe it is about we shouldn't be rich. And then we balance that out with what Paul is telling to Timothy. And, you know, he's telling Timothy that the wealthy should actually sort of watch out for how they're living their lives. And we start to go, oh, well, I think this is about worldly wealth. And is it just easier for me to eschew all of that? Is it just easier for me to say, well, I'm just not going to take any money. I'm not going to keep any money. Maybe I should give all of my money away. And maybe there's something to that. But if there is, I doubt that it's actually just about money. Instead, I think it's about isolation. I think that there's plenty in our lives that keep us isolated from the people around us. I think money is maybe a big one, that we tend to sort of put ourselves not in the same social circles as people who have significantly more money than we do or significantly less money than we do, because that makes it difficult. There's this sort of feeling of inequality. There's this feeling of, okay, well, how do I even go into that relationship? How do I work that out? And it is difficult. It's difficult because it's difficult for us to understand what it's like for somebody else to live in a way that's different from us. Whether that be that they have way more money than we do, and they have their own set of problems, or if that's they have way less money than we do, and they have their own set of problems. It's just difficult for us to actually get to know those people, and so it just becomes easier. It becomes easier for us to isolate. And that is what the rich man in this parable is doing. He's off by himself in his dining room, feasting sumptuously. If he had a streaming service, he would probably be watching it. Or maybe he's just scrolling through TikTok or whatever it is. But maybe he's kind of just on his own. And maybe there's a little bit of that resonates with you. And maybe it's easier in some ways for us in our culture to get there. Because after all, we live in this culture that is filled with technology that bings and buzzes and chirps at us. All of these things that are calling for our attention, and sometimes it's just easier for us to say, I'm just going to go and be by myself. I want to isolate. I don't want to engage with people. It also doesn't help that people are messy. And sometimes we don't want to get into those conversations with people because of how messy those conversations can be. And so we isolate. Just like the man who climbed up the rock formation and ended up getting bitter. He just crawled off into his little cave. How often do we find a cave? I have caves. I have some really great caves. And you probably do too. Places where you go to isolate away from other people. Places that feel safe. Places that keep you away from the awkwardness of other people. And unfortunately, those things can end up leading us to believe that isolating is the right choice. That if we're isolated from everybody else, then maybe we are just isolated. Maybe we are just people who are off on our own. Maybe we're people that have to watch out for ourselves. Maybe we are people that nobody else is going to be there for us. And there's kind of this rugged individualism that we have in our culture, in our nation, that seems to resonate with that idea that we're on our own. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to do all of those things, and they're going to be all by myself. And so if we do those things, and if we especially if we achieve success in those things, we end up believing that that's what life looks like. Until we need a helicopter. And that's what Jesus is pointing out in this story. In this story, both Lazarus and the rich man get taken from one place to the other. They get taken by that helicopter. One helicopter takes a Lazarus and takes his living body into heaven next to Abraham. And the other one takes the rich man, who's basically a corpse, into Hades. And while they're there, they find out that there's a chasm, a separation, something that keeps them apart from the other. And that mirrors the chasm of relationship that they had when they were living. And the problem is that there is sort of a sense of, well, you're on your own. This is how things turned out. But there's that interesting thing about that chasm. You know, there's this chasm, and I don't know if you caught it, but in the reading, it says that there's a chasm that has been fixed, that anyone who would want to go from here to there cannot. Abraham says that specifically the reason that we put this chasm in place is so that if somebody wanted to leave heaven and go and help somebody in hell, we put this in place so that that person could not do it. But somebody did. There's this great poem that was written by an Anglican priest. His name was R.S. Thomas. He wrote it in the 1970s. And I think this describes a little bit of what's happening there. The poem goes like this. And God held in his hand a small globe. Look, he said. The sun looked. Far off, as though through water, he saw a scorched land of fierce color. The light burned there. Crusted buildings cast their shadows. A bright serpent, a river, uncoiled itself, radiant with slime. On a bare hill, a bare tree sat in the sky. Many people held out their thin arms to it, as though waiting for a vanished April to return to its crossed boughs. The sun watched them. Let me go there, he said. R.S. Thomas ends with, I think, what Jesus was trying to hint at. That there would be somebody who came back from the dead. There would be somebody who came back from the dead and pointed to Moses and the prophets. There would be somebody who came back from the dead who came to save the five brothers that were left. There would be somebody who would come back and not leave people isolated. And that somebody that would come was him. And that's what we get to rejoice in. Not that we save ourselves, not that we have some way of doing that either by our poverty or by our wealth, not by our laziness nor by our ability to do work, but rather that we are saved by somebody who looked at our small globe and said, "Let me go there." So as you walk out into this world, know that you will be faced with many decisions and many times that you are given to isolate yourself. And when you feel like isolating yourself, remember that there is a God who wouldn't let you be isolated, but who came to you by his Son. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.